All right, Osmo, here we go. It's your old pal Emac coming to you on a Saturday morning. We aren't even the leadoff show. We just had Greg Ehrenberg and who was it? Oh, Adam Ship My Money Share break down the one game slate. Somehow they ran long. That's okay. We'll tighten this up. We'll do 16. Yes, 16 games for you in our hour because, you know, we're true professionals here. I'm joined by Chris. Chris is bringing the youth here. He's going to keep us moving along. Chris, how has it been? We didn't do a show last weekend together.
Yeah, what's up, Emac? Looking forward to today's, multiple slates that we're going to talk about. But yeah, suck. We didn't get to do a show last weekend. I always look forward to doing them with you on a bright and early Saturday morning.
Yes, bright and early. I usually draw the Saturday and Sunday morning shows because I generally the only one up these days. I also get the New Year's Day show as well as Christmas oftentimes because I'm not out the night before. So it's a party here. I usually go to bed early, but last night I stayed up, watched the basketball game, had a bunch of bets going. I was doing a DraftKings. They gave you 3,500 crowns if you do five live $30 or more bets. So when I saw that, I said, oh, I'm going to do that. And so I went and looked at Odd Shopper and figured out all the different bets I wanted to do with the player props. And then I did a couple of the game props because as soon as it went live, I knew I could still get similar numbers. And those would qualify for live bets, which they did, which was fun because I always like to get whatever the sites are offering us. And one of the best deals out there is from our sponsor, Prize Picks. Actually, use the promo code OSMO when you sign up. When you make your first deposit, they will match you up to $100 and you will also get 30 free days of all access Osmo premium content by using our promo code when you sign up at Prize Picks. We'll talk about them throughout the show, but let's jump on in here. I took some notes here. I've got my article. It's under review right now. I'm sure it'll be posted shortly, but I'm looking at the draft. I said, it's going to be cold in Denver with temperatures in the mid 40. Those snow should not be an issue. They postponed their game yesterday because of inclement weather. There was snow in the forecast prior to that. Oh, it was like 80 degrees. Crazy day, crazy spring weather there in Denver. But Chicago, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh are all worth keeping an eye on with varying degrees of precipitation risk. Most of those are in that kind of that 6 o'clock time frame there. So again, the slates are all over the place today. We're going to go through all of the games. We're going to go from the jump here and turning it over to Chris. We've got the Chicago White Sox at New York Yankees. Their game was postponed yesterday. However, I believe the doubleheader is going to be tomorrow. What do you got for us? You've got Dallas Keuchel going against Nestor Cortez. Strikeouts on one side, lots of ground balls on the other. What do you want to do here?
Yeah, I was just going to say we have polar opposite pitchers here. Both are lefties. That's about the only thing that's about the same for those two because one's got a 32.5% strikeout rate. One's got a 12.5% strikeout rate this year. But Nestor Cortez has been absolutely awesome this season. A 2.78 xFIP, 32.5% K rate. Not giving him much power, only a 23% hard contact rate. This matchup versus the White Sox is pretty tough, but at the same time, it's a tough matchup for the White Sox as well. He has good win equity. I think the Yankees stack can definitely get the Dallas Keuchel here. I do not expect him to have a good game, and there is no scenario where I can really see myself wanting to play Keuchel because even if he does have a decent game, he doesn't get enough strikeouts to make it worthwhile. He does get a lot of ground balls. That's the one good thing about Dallas Keuchel, but he walks a lot of guys. His walk rate and strikeout rate are just about the same, and it's not a good matchup in Yankee Stadium versus all the power righties that they have.
Yeah, the swinging strike rate, 8.7% over his last 800 batters, not so great. He's ahead of the count just 44% of the time. He kind of lives and dies if he can get those double plays. That's really the main thing that will keep him out of trouble. Would you look for maybe some one-off home run potential here with Judge, Stanton, or Donaldson?
Oh, for sure. As hot as Aaron Judge has been this season, he's been an absolute fire. If you have the money for him, that's always the question. It's never a question if you should play Aaron Judge. You usually should. It just matters if you have enough money for him. $6,100, it's kind of tough to get to, but there is some cheap pitching on the slate, which I think you can certainly – able to fit that, and even maybe a mini stack for the Yankees if you can't quite get to a full stack.
Yeah, that's kind of the direction I was looking at for this one. The one, it goes back to Keuchel. Yeah, well, he's going to allow a ton of contact. If they hit him where the defenders are, no bueno for our stacks here. So that is the one saving grace that he does have is a pretty good defense behind him. But we'll see. It's baseball. This is the early game. Plenty of other options ahead. Anything else from our opener here?
Now, I mean, pretty heavy on the Yankees side, but whether it's pitching or bats, say on this slate or on this game.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Again, a little bit of weather potential in Chicago. We've got 6 to 10 mile an hour breeze coming in from left field. Another game with a pair of lefties on the mound. You've got veteran Madison Bumgarner going against the Cubbies. Justin Steele taking the bump for the hometown heroes. I am looking for some one-offs here. We do have some confirmed lineups. Yan Gomes at 2,800 and Frank Schwindel at 2,800 on DraftKings are going to give you plenty of salary relief to do kind of whatever you want with the rest of your lineup. On the other side, of course, Jordan Luplo is doing quite nicely at the leadoff spot whenever he gets a lefty. And even though it's lefty-lefty, didn't Josh Rojas have like a trio of home runs last night? Did I catch that blurb correctly?
I think you might be right. I don't remember much of the Diamondbacks game because I don't think it was on the main slate, was it?
I was watching a lot of basketball, so but I swear I saw a ticker or so, or an alert. Let me check that out. But do you like anything from the hitters, or is this kind of more of a pitching? Are SP2s coming from this game?
Yeah, I think this is a decent SP2 spot, especially with Madison Bumgarner. Trust me, I don't like Madison Bumgarner. I don't think he's a very good pitcher these days, but at his price point, sub 6K and kind of pitcher-friendly weather there, I don't mind it. But man, the numbers to back it up aren't too impressive. A 5.13x of this season, 14.5% strikeout rate, not giving up a ton of power, but nearly a 50% fly ball rate. As for Justin Steele, he's a little bit more expensive. I'd say it's a better spot for him. The lower implied run total against him, he's been better this season. 3.8x FIP, 22.7% strikeout rate, not allowing much power, gets a good amount of ground balls. Only problem with him is that 12% walk rate, but I think both guys are viable as SP2 options. It looks like as of right now, we are projecting Bumgarner to get about the third highest ownership percentage, which does seem a bit scary. Does have a negative leverage score, but at nearly $5,900, it does allow you to get to those Yankee stacks if you want to go that route.
All right. Looking at the game yesterday, you are correct. It was the traditional Friday afternoon game there in Wrigley. It wasn't on the main slate, but Rojas had 3 home runs. All told, the Diamondbacks had 7 home runs. The Cubs had 4. 11 home runs, 16 total runs in that game. Wow, that would have broken the main slate if it would have been available there. But I wasn't totally crazy. We get so lost because I do a lot of content the night before and I'm reviewing what happened that day. But I'd written about the slate, 36 hours prior. It gets crazy here. You sort of lose track of days. And then with baseball, it just is the never ending march of game after game after game. We are, I think, about 30%, 32% through the season right now for baseball. So a lot ahead of us here. And then we get the NHL, which we have some great Osmo projections and content for. I've been doing quite nicely in the playoffs there. 5 games in the first, or 5 series in the first round, went 7 games. We had 2 basketball games go to the 7th game in the second round there. It's just like, it's like deja vu all over again. To bring it back to baseball, hat tip to the one and only Yogi Berra. All righty, moving on to our next game here, the Reds at Toronto. So here is the question of the day. How good of a pitcher is Hunter Green? He had 9 strikeouts across 7 1/3 no-hit innings against Pittsburgh in his last start. That was on Sunday. 22 strikeouts in his last 15 innings. However, 11 home runs in 33 total innings this season. Tough matchup today. He's definitely going to be talented. I hope everybody got in on that game against Pittsburgh. I don't want to go to him today against Toronto. He is a potential option in the sports betting market on his strikeout prop or on Prize Picks, but I'm thinking I'm leaning pretty heavily towards the Toronto bats here. How do you feel about pitchers coming off, near no hitters? A lot of stressor pitches is what, it's like everything's a playoff pitch. He threw 118 pitches in that start, had 100 in the one before. I'm just worried that may not have much in the tank for this game. What is your read on that? Because damn, he was good in the last one.
Yeah, I totally agree. Usually when pitchers do that, I try to stay away a little bit because people like to chase game logs, and that's for sure. But this is a tough spot for Hunter Green. We know the upside's there. He's got great strikeout stuff, and you're 29% K rate this season in 33 innings. But at the same time, a 4.3 xFIP is not terrible. But after that, a 13% walk rate, nearly a 300 ISO, a 55% fly ball rate, gets up hard contact, and that's not a good thing to do versus Toronto Blue Jays, especially playing in Toronto. I guess in Cincy, it's a bad ballpark as well, but a lot of power bats here that could give him trouble, and he's giving up a lot of power. Is there strikeout upside? Sure, but if these guys make contact with pitches, they're probably going to go pretty deep.
All right, so the FanDuel slate, they have their very early slate. That was the three games we just talked about. They then roll over to the 4 o'clock games for their early slate. 6 o'clock, they got, or which is a six game, where they got a four game evening slate, and then five games on their main slate. They are excluding Coors. DK, of course, to be different, has six games on their early slate, and then they have afternoon slate starts with the 3 o'clock games, which we're going to be talking about now, because we just hit the one, but we're going to talk about our second one here, Coors Field. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky here with Coors Field, because it's cold there. It's going to be in the mid 40s, not particularly pleasant. There may be a little mist in the air, no real precipitation risk, but it's going to be somewhat miserable. So this is not the Coors Field extravaganza that we are used to seeing. However, still a 9.5 implied run total, and it looks like Chris Bryant should be in the lineup. He has missed most of the season with, I believe it was injuries, but what do you want to do with this game? It's only DK specific.
Yeah, it's pretty tough because, like you said, these are terrible conditions for hitting. I mean, we're still in Coors Field, so that's always going to, you know, trump most things. But these are two solid pitchers with Carlos Carrasco and Germán Márquez. I mean, these guys are both very serviceable on the season. They both have around a 3.5 xFIP, not generating a ton of strikeouts, though. But they don't walk many guys, and they'll give up a ton of power, although Márquez is over just right around 200 ISO so far this season. But it's still the Mets' offense. I mean, they're always capable of putting up quite a bit of runs. You have Nimmo, Marte, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. And they're not insanely expensive. Only one of those guys are above $5,000. They still have an implied run total above five. I still think I'm going to have to get to some Mets, but this is certainly not like the past couple of weeks where it's been warm in Coors and they've been popping off. I think it's definitely not going to be as appealing as it normally would be.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's kind of interesting, it's like DraftKings forgot to price up some of the guys. If he is in the lineup, Dominic Smith, he'll be at the bottom of the order, still a pinch hit risk, but he's 2,700 on DraftKings. That's somewhat absurd. You've got Sam Hilliard, who will likely be in the lineup for the Rockies. He is tends to be more of a spot starter these days, but he's 3,300. So those guys are going to facilitate the ability to get a CJ Cron in the lineup at 5,600 or Pete Alonso, 5,200, et cetera. There, of course, those are both first basemen. You can only play one of them, or you can make multiple lineups, which is something that we tend to espouse here at Osmo. We like to say, you know, go down in the buy-ins, create more lineups, keep the same amount in play, and you can just decrease the variance that you will experience, which of course is the risk reward of things actually playing out. But with the Osmo tools, you should be able to have an advantage. So every little bit that you can get to take that advantage is going to be key. Again, if you sign up with our sponsor today, Prize Picks, you can sign up any day, but when you sign up with Prize Picks, use the promo code Osmo. That will get you up to a $100 deposit match of your first deposit on Prize Picks, and you'll get 30 free days of Osmo full platinum access as well. All righty, two more games here. An afternoon game, a 1 o'clock local start. You've got San Diego in San Francisco. A couple of aces on the mound here. You've got Joe Musgrove going against Carlos Rodon. Rodon looked pretty horrible. That was the last Sunday. Again, I've lost track, but I believe it was the Cardinals that knocked him around. Have I lost track, but he was sublime, as they say, going into that game. Not as tough of a pod squad this year with no Fernando Tatis. How do you feel about the pitchers here? I'm not liking hitters from either side, even really as one-offs, but the pitching, we're paying top dollar, but it feels like a good matchup for both.
This is definitely a premium pitching spot here. And you are correct, versus Cardinals last time out, -8.5 fantasy points. Gave up 8 runs and 3.2 innings pitched in 10 hits. It was not a good game for Rodon. He's only had 2 bad games, though. Besides that, he's been around 30-some fantasy points each and every single start. So we'll give him a bypass there. Plus, the Cardinals are very good versus lefties. So we'll just chalk it up to bad luck there with Rodon. But both pitchers are excellent. I feel like Musgrove hasn't been on a main slate in forever because I can't remember the last time I had to think about playing him. I'm not sure.
He gets a lot of those 6 o'clock starts, so we just miss him in those San Diego games on the weekdays.
Yeah, but he's obviously been very good this year. A sub-3 xFIP, 26.5% K rate. Doesn't walk anybody, only a 3.4% walk rate this year. Doesn't give up much hard contact, doesn't give up much power. It's not a great spot versus San Francisco, but they still have a pretty low implied run total. The problem is he's $10,200, and I'd much rather get to Rodon, who's cheaper and a better matchup versus San Diego. Only a 3.1 implied run total against him. Decent favorite here, and obviously could always get 7-8-plus strikeouts with his 30%+ K rate. So I'm liking both pitching a lot here, but I would side with Rodon.
All right, that makes the most sense if you were looking for some one-offs, because we do have some two-game slates here on some of the sites. I think, goes without saying, Manny Machado would be the guy. I don't hate Will Myers. And then naturally, we would look to Brandon Belt or Jacques Peterson as our one-off hitters here in this game. Anything else of note for you?
Well, if you don't fully believe in Musgrove, you do have some decent lefties on that San Francisco side, like LaStella, Belt, Peterson, Yastrzemski, Crawford, that could give him some trouble, but I'm not confident in that whatsoever.
All right, on to our final game of, shall we call, the early/afternoon slate. Trevor Story, is he going to hit multiple home runs today, a grand slam, or both? What do you think? Boy, he has the Mariners number right now.
Might as well be both. He has been on fire. 3 home runs the one night. I know he went deep last night. I'm not sure if he made that too, but he's been
killed. Yeah, it was a grand slam last night off Robbie, right?
Man, he has been absolutely on fire.
So he's our starting point here. Chris Flexen, of course, he washed out with the Mets, had 3 cups of coffee, 3 different seasons. Disaster, disaster, disaster. Went and pitched for, I believe it was the Doosan Bears in the KBO. Mariners took a chance on him last year. He managed to survive all season. Nothing stellar, not a lot of strikeouts, does a decent job with his control. It's all about getting weak. Well, not even necessarily weak contact, but just not solid contact. So it's an adventure whenever he pitches. It gets tricky because you think this is the spot he's going to get crushed. And then he survives with the hit sequencing and gets a few ground ball outs to get him out of the mess. And then when you want to roll with him as your SP2, that's the day he decides to leave him hanging over the plate. I don't want to tangle with the Bo Sox here, but I do like Alex Verdugo and Rafael Devers as a nice core here. I don't know that I'd really want to go with the Bo Sox stack, but how are you reading our last game of this early portion of the day?
Yeah, I'm more inclined to stack up Boston today, I think, than maybe you are. I know you like some of the players here and there, but I think this is a pretty decent stack to get to on the early slate. I know there's other teams that are in very good spots, but I'm going to be on Boston. I never liked Chris Flexen. He just doesn't really generate too many strikeouts. Gives up a decent amount of power, 4.5 xFIP so far this season, but a 5 implied run total. Obviously a very hitter-friendly park over in Boston. You have a fantastic lineup here. I mean, Kike Hernandez, Rafael Devers, Martinez, Bogarts, Verdugo, Story. He's just been absolutely on fire, which we talked about. Franchi Cordero's got a pop. We'll see who's a catcher. Kevin Plawecki, Jackie Bradley, who I believe went deep last night. I'm liking them quite a bit. I think they're one of the better stacks on the early slate.
I guess it's my lifelong Mariner fandom here. It makes me a little nervous, though. I do recall, I think it was a Felix Hernandez start about 6-7 years ago. I want to say it was in Fenway, and he was at the apex of his powers. And we had someone in chat, or someone knew or heard or saw something. This is before we had a lot of the news aggregator sites, and Twitter was not quite yet at its apex of a knowledge source. But somehow somebody knew that Hernandez had tweaked something, but he was still going to start. Got his ass kicked. I remember he was I don't think it was his Cy Young year, but it was right around that time frame where he was just amazing, and that was one of my better days going against him. Got to go with your heart sometimes, but the bankroll. It's always about the bankroll. Hey, if you guys are looking to stretch those dollars, we do have some free content today. We've got the MLB main slate player ownership projections, the popularity projections. We've got the NBA popularity rankings, which is what you can get as part of the Express package. It just it gives you a nice tiering of their popularity. So if you are on a bit of a budget, you can get in those Express packages. And while they don't have the exact projections next to them at a fraction of the cost, you can get everything tiered out for you, which works great for basketball this time of the year when we're really looking at just four teams in our player pool. Most of the time, just two each game or each day, unless you're playing the rolling two-game slates. But that's always fun there. And then, of course, we have the UFC Pro Plays and the NHL player rankings for the NHL are free today. Moving on, 6 o'clock games. Do we call the 6 o'clock games the evening slate? Because I like to think of the evening slate as like those 8 o'clock games, but it's not really late afternoon until we get to summer, right? When it's lighter later. I still want to call it the late afternoon slate, but I'm not sure what we should dub this one, but we'll just say the game beginning at 6 o'clock, or the games in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got the Dodgers in Philadelphia, a strong breeze blowing out 10 to 15 miles an hour to right. On the bump for the Phillies, you have Aaron Nola going against the veritable all-star team. That is the Dodgers. You have Mitch White getting the start against Philadelphia. 90 degrees here. Slightly humid. The magic number is about 60-65% humidity. It's going to be about 50% humidity, but it's still warm. You want to look at that. You kind of want to index that when it gets around, 150 combined number there. That's when you really can see some home run weather. What do you want to do with this game? Because Nola, he's a fine pitcher, tough ask, but I don't know that I'm really fired up for the Dodgers.
Yeah, so the thing is here, we have a decent chance if we're playing this afternoon slate, whatever you want to call it, turbo, whatever. There's a decent chance we could lose this Cleveland-Detroit game as there's a lot of weather. So that knocks it down to a three-gamer, which does make your options even slimmer. So if that happens, I think you have to have more interest in a guy like Aaron Nola, even though it's a terrible matchup versus the Dodgers. And like you said, some pretty good weather for hitting, but Nola himself has been very good so far this year with a 2.7 xFIP, close to a 30% K rate, lots of ground balls, low walk rate. The problem is he has a gauntlet of a matchup versus basically the NL All-Star team this year. And the thing with Mitch White is while he has decent numbers with a 28% K rate, he doesn't pitch deep into games, so you're really not going to get your bang for buck there. So if we happen to lose the Cleveland game, I think I'm going to be more inclined to get to Nola. If we happen to get the Cleveland game with Shane Bieber, I'd probably have less Nola.
Yeah, Mitch White is going to throw about 30 pitches, maybe 40. And that as you mentioned, that we'll get to the next game, but there is some weather there, tiny bit of weather in Pittsburgh. I don't think that's going to be an issue, but there certainly is with the Cleveland game. So this could thin things out rapidly for us. But in those cases, there's your MLB strategy. I like to play on when we have main slates, usually five, six, or more games. I like to, on DraftKings, set a minimum salary used of 49,000. What I will do on these shorter slates is I'll run a few lineups like that. I'll run a few unencumbered, and I'll see about where the projection cutoff is, and I'll run some of my lineups like that because I want to bring in some expensive one-off hitters is basically the goal I'm doing here. And I'll usually run four-man stacks with one-offs or occasionally some four fours in the mix. But what I like to do then is run several with just the points threshold and not worry if I'm spending $43,000 or whatever it is. You can create some incredibly unique lineups there, and a lot of times gamers are not going to be on those combinations, and they can pay off because it's baseball and you're not choosing, we're all drawing from the same player pool, but if you're ending up with a bunch of one-offs or random combinations of players from the lower in the lineups or two cheap pitchers and not playing every expensive bat that's out there, you can really separate yourself from the field if things go your way. And that's something I've learned on these turbo slates over the last few years for baseball. Don't want to do that in basketball. Don't really want to do that in hockey, even though hockey is incredibly variant. You usually are better off getting the more expensive players in hockey. And then, of course, basketball, it's one of the most projectable sports. They still got to play the game, but it's a different strategy there. But baseball, sometimes that's something players or gamers tend to overlook as a strategy here. So just a little tip from the guy who's been around forever doing this. Anything else from this game, or shall we head to Miami?
I like Aaron Nola, but at the same time, I'm still going to have some Dodger stacks against him just because of how good they are.
All right. News God El Negro Loco says, mark my words, the Cleveland game will be postponed. That's going to make me sad because it was a lovely salary there for Shane Bieber. Of course, everybody is seeing that. But if that game's going to be postponed, we'll see that. It was still, let me rephrase that. Likely postponed, but if it's not postponed before the game starts or before the slate starts or the game locks, there could be some people that tend to play on those. I got burned. I woke up from a late nap I think it was last Saturday with the Cleveland game, and played it, and it got postponed, and everybody knew it was going to get postponed except this guy right here who was just not paying attention. Oops. So pay attention. It's only money, but it's money. Atlanta, Miami, Kyle Wright, Elysier Hernandez. Hernandez, stalwart of my season long leagues, my dynasty, everything. Love him. Not been good this year. No. I'm leading with my heart, not with my head. I want no part of him against Atlanta. On the other side, Kyle Wright, somewhat intriguing going against a pesky, though not incredibly threatening, Marlins lineup here. He's going to be popular if we do lose that Cleveland game. 10,200. Yes, he's too expensive, but we lose that Cleveland game. He's kind of our next best pitcher, depending on how you feel about Matthew Liberatore. We'll talk about him, the phenom, in a bit. But what do you want to do with Kyle Wright here? Is he going to be a core building block for you? Because we've already said no to Nola.
Yeah, it's going to depend on what happens with the Cleveland game, because if they play, obviously Shane Bieber is going to be going SP1. But if we lose him, well, up top you have Nola versus the Dodgers. He's good, but that's scary. But then Kyle Wright, I know he's too expensive, but you kind of have to play with the cards you're dealt here. You don't have many other options to get to, and it's definitely a softer spot versus Miami. And Wright has been very good this year, a sub-3 xFIP, nearly a 30% K rate, not giving up pretty much any power, nearly a 50% ground ball rate. Not scared of the matchup. I definitely have to get to quite a bit of Kyle Wright as my SP1 just from a raw point standpoint.
All right. Hernandez, still in play as an SP2. Yes. We're hoping for 4, maybe 5 innings where he gives up 3 home runs, gets a couple strikeouts, and doesn't get crushed. Hey, maybe we'll luck into it. He gives up a couple solo shots with nobody on base. That would be an acceptable outcome here. What is, looking at the numbers for Hernandez, and I know you have your vaunted model, the bullpen, which means I'm sure you're drawing in a fair amount of information. What has changed with Hernandez? Was he just outperforming the last couple seasons? Is his trajectory, is this just what we're going to get? This is where he's run out of talent and he's going to plateau here, which he's still a major league starter, but not looking like he's going to make it up to the Sandy Alcantara or Lopez level of pitching for Miami there.
Yeah, I certainly think it could be a bit of both. Maybe he overplayed himself, but I think right now he's kind of underplaying what he's going to be to what he's going to perform as maybe the rest of the season, because I don't think he's a 5x foot pitcher, 19.5% K rate, also giving up a ton of power so far, not many ground balls. I think he's going to get better as the season progresses. I don't think he's this bad. And as far as this slate goes at $6,300, I don't think he's a bad option. I do like the Cardinals pitcher a bit better. But if you're trying to get a little bit weird, he does have one of the better chances to be a top two value pitcher on this turbo slate. But you got to keep in mind, there's not really many options to go with. So it's not like I'm really touting Hernandez to be a great play, but it's just the fact that we don't have many great options to get to. And the Braves will strike out a little bit versus righties, but so far this season, he hasn't really shown too much swing and miss stuff.
Yeah, definitely in play. So I'm just doing DK today. So he's definitely in play as an SP2. I know you do play a fair amount on FanDuel as well, I believe. Is he someone you would even consider on FanDuel today, or would you just really narrow your player pool down if you're building 150 there?
Yeah, maybe a few percentages, but I'm not going to try to rely on Hernandez too much. I think there's some better spots. I'm not going to really find myself having to go that cheap, I don't think, too often.
Yeah, and it's having had sports betting and sports betting, we'll talk a little bit about Odd Shopper and we'll talk a little bit about Prize Picks. It's taken the way I've approached things dramatically differently. Because you can kind of hedge some of your plays with your DFS lineup. We're kind of in a vacuum, right? We're in an aquarium. We all got the same options, the same choices. It's how you put things together. With sports wagering, you know, you can kind of hedge some of your things where you're like, hey, I'm going to play. I don't have a good example for today, but we'll just say, Hunter Green. I don't want to play Hunter Green, tough matchup against Toronto, but you know what? Maybe I do like him for his over 5.5 strikeout prop, and I can kind of get the best of both worlds. I'm going to play some Toronto, and if they strike out, hey, you know, if my hitters are going to get outs, that's great. I hope they get some strikeouts against the pitcher, and I take advantage of that over on the sports wagering market or on Prize Picks for the player prop. So that's something that I've really started looking at with pitchers. And it's not a unique concept by any stretch, but this is just my second baseball season where sports bet wagering has been legalized in Virginia. And I didn't really do much with baseball last year, but I've really got into all of Prize Picks and the DK Sportsbook and that stuff now. So I really, really like it. And it's made me look at things differently because we have these great projections. It may not work with what we want to do in the DFS side of things because of salary cap constraints or popularity or what have you, but you can still find that information if you think something is going to happen. There are now other ways that you can monetize it. Of course, if sports wagering is not legal in your state, odds are Prize Picks is operating in your state, and essentially they do player props for their contests. And it's not you against the mass multi-entry players, it's you against their lines, and you build out your cards with 2, 3, 4, or 5 questions. It's a lot of fun. They have over a dozen sports posted. You can do cross sports bets. The only limitations that you have, you can't use the same player more than once in a card. And I learned last weekend after I built out a fun, or 2 weekends ago on air when we built out a fun lineup, I learned that when I hit save, it didn't save because I had chosen 3 batters. You can only pick 2 batters from the same team per card. So you can't get a mini stack in there, but you can get two guys together. Cause I was looking at 3 Angels. It was a good matchup for Rendon, Trout, and I think Marsh. It was Marsh or Walsh. Now I can't get those two confused, but Marsh definitely the better power hitter. And it was a lot of fun. So that's something we'll look at here as we get towards the end of the show. We'll have Chris point out some what his model thinks, and we'll look at how we can use Prize Picks with Odd Shopper to find some advantages for us. But they have a lot of fun. They've also opened up, they're doing a ton of golf this weekend. They have, you can pick like usually three or 2.5 or more or fewer birdies in a round. Yesterday they have a challenge where you can get a $100 free entry if you complete 4 days worth of their challenges. So yesterday I was building out a bunch of golf lineups. I will again today as well, but I was trying to figure out what greens in regulation. I had to go look up and see what that meant. And I had, look at a few other things, but it's a lot of fun. They want to make it a really good player experience there. And I've really enjoyed it. I actually like it better than the DK Sportsbook. That's the only sportsbook I wager on at this time. Too many moving parts to keep track of everything else. But I like their interface a lot better. It's easy to find players. You can just type in their name and search for them. Brings up all of their different questions. You can go across sports. They now have, first half and second half NBA wagers. They have fourth quarter wagers, etc. They've added some, no goals scored in the first 8 minutes. Minutes or yes, a goal scored in the first 8 minutes for hockey. They're doing the yes or no on runs in the first inning now for baseball. So they're turning it in. They're pushing the limits of making it a sports wagering, but it's done via props, right? It's a parlay card. So that's how they can sort of work around those particular regulations, shall we say. Do we have laws? Everything's just kind of like a strong guideline, right? So it sure seems that we could just lie about everything now. We don't lie about how good Prize Picks is. It's a lot of fun. All righty, back to the games here. Anything else you want to call out from our Miami and Braves?
No, definitely going to side with the Kyle Wright side there, but I mean, it's just so expensive, but you're going to have to get to some of them for sure.
Let's look. So News God says no bueno with the weather here in Cleveland. Looks like there's a strong chance that this one is going to get washed away. You've got rookie Alex, I'm going to guess his name is pronounced Fado, going against Shane Bieber. We talked about the Biebs in passing, 8,800 on DraftKings. Everybody's going to be on him. Just quickly hit on this one, since it's likely we're going to lose this, but we probably will see the same matchup tomorrow.
Yeah, like we said, probably going to lose this game. But if it happened to play, like all systems were go, green, we're going to play a full nine innings. Shane Bieber would be the SP1 in slate. We know how good he is. Although so far this season in about 40 innings, he hasn't really flashed his Shane Bieber upside, 3.71 xFIP, only a 22% K rate, 7% walk rate. I mean, those numbers are kind of on par with the guy on their side with Fado here. Or Fado, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but I would still have to get to a lot of Bieber. We know the Tigers can strike out quite a bit versus right-handed pitching, but I don't want to get into it too much because we're probably going to lose this game.
Yeah, but the next game, we've got a debut here for Matthew Liberatore is what we're going to go with. He is 22 years old, and this is going to be his debut. Excellent opportunity going against the Pirates. Not a lot of seasoning or experience yet. For him, of course, with the pandemic shortened season and no minor leagues that year, where everybody was just kind of at their alternate training sites. But if you're going to roll the dice on someone making their start here against this iteration of the Pirates, one of the better ones that we can do. What are your thoughts with him? He's a hard throwing lefty, has all the accolades. And I think his last name is Gorman. There was another St. Louis draftee that same year. I was reading about them this morning, 2018 year. Those guys, they grew up as buddies. They went to different high schools, but their families are friends. They played on coach pitch leagues since they were 5 years old and all the travel squads, et cetera. I think that, it's Gorman is his last name. He either got called up and played yesterday, or he's getting called up to potentially play this weekend. Those guys are get a chance to make their debut here in the same weekend. Pretty cool story there. Yeah. But what are you thinking about rolling with the rookie here? Because if we lose this Cleveland game, we got to play two of our six pitchers, and we've already kind of gnaw-waved three of them. So we're running out of choices.
Yeah, I put it as Baseball Reference to see how you actually pronounce his name. I believe it's Liberatore. So
okay.
And then
handle that one. I'll just call him the rookie phenom and go from there.
I like it. Yeah, he's a former first round pick from Tampa Bay, but hard not to like him here at this price point at $5,100. I put up his Fangraphs from the AAA so far this season. He is doing very, very well. He's got about 40 innings pitched, 10.5 Ks per nine, currently sitting at, I believe, around a 28% K rate and a pretty low threes for his xFIP. Yeah, he's going to be pretty good. And he gets a soft matchup here versus the Pittsburgh Pirates, only at $5,100. It's really easy to throw him in on your Liberatore, I believe is what Chris is telling us right now. We're not sure. We're just going to call him very good at baseball.
That works. We'll call him Matthew.
Yeah, we'll call him Matthew. $5,100, though. I mean, facing a soft matchup in Pittsburgh, he does not need to do much to hit value whatsoever. I'm going to be loading up on him quite a bit.
All right. Is there anyone that you would consider here on the other side going against him? Maybe Ke'Bryan Hayes, potentially a Brian Reynolds. Michael Chavis can hold his own against opposite-handed pitching. It's a young pitcher making his start at the highest level. Not a lot of, he's got all the bona fides, but he doesn't really have all the experience. Anybody you'd take a few chances on here sprinkled across your lineups?
Yeah, I think the only two I'd really want to have any interest in is Ke'Bryan Hayes and Brian Reynolds. I mean, those are the obvious two top bats in this lineup. Both can hit lefties. Outside of that, I'm just going to be pretty heavy on pitching side.
All right. So I can't find the article I read. So there's a couple. If you guys just sort for Gorman and I've already forgot how to play Liberatore. I'm going to drop this one in from MLB.com. I think that was the one I read. But it's actually kind of a fun story about these guys growing up not that far apart and, squaring off in high school, but having been teammates for most of their other leagues aside from high school. But pretty cool to see both those guys. Baseball is just a funny thing. You can have, if you ever looked like Oh, now I didn't think that one all the way through. Matt Stafford and Clayton Kershaw playing Little League baseball together is kind of, you know, it's just like, really? That's crazy. You know, how did they ever lose, right? Shouldn't they have won the Little League World Series or something? But just sometimes where paths cross, it's really fun to see all that. And you see it more often than not in baseball, somewhat in, you know, the travel or AAU for basketball, but that's, you know, more collections of talented players getting the opportunity to play together. Baseball, it's just kind of like, where are you regionally located? Those are probably going to be your peers. But back to this one, Jose Quintana, 11 seasons in the major leagues. He's played for almost 11 teams. I mean, he's a vagabond, if you will. Having his best season thus far, but what makes it scary is he really hasn't given up any power. And that's something that he usually allows a fair amount of hard contact to righties. So I think looking to the Redbirds, who are going to be running out almost an entirely righty lineup, is going to be a savvy play here. Quintana has allowed just 7 extra base hits across 149 batters. That is going to, like, what's over under on extra base hits today? 3.5. I got to put the hook in there. I'm going to say 3.5.
I'll definitely take the, I mean,
sure. That's the a Cardinals, hefty number. He's only given 7 this year. I'm saying 3.5 today, 4, I guess. Jeez.
Yeah. And the Cardinals are a team that really kill left-handed pitching. And they just killed Rodon, which is one of the best left-handed pitchers in all of baseball. Now you give me a matchup versus Quintana, who I know has been good this year. But I mean, so far this season, their season splits versus lefties, a 142 WRC plus, a 209 ISO, only a 19% K rate. I mean, I have no concerns about going to the Redbirds.
Yeah, Slim in chat says good high school teammates, Randy Moss and Jason Williams. They were in high school together, played basketball and football together. I do remember that. That was, you see them, you're just like, oh my God. It's like when you see Allen Iverson clips of when he was a high school quarterback. It's like, he was Michael Vick before Michael Vick, right? It's just like, oh my God, I can't. You get some of these transcendent athletes, you're just like, it's like, just a video game for them, just a right. Video game. I think that's going to wrap up this one. One-off home runs from this game. I think even Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina are in play. They're both somewhat discounted. They're not going to break the bank. They're at the end, you know, a couple future Hall of Famers there, but it's a decent time to look to them. Not that we want to go with BVP because we're looking at two players that have played 20 years and they're going against the pitcher who's been in the league for 11 years. Who knows when these at bats happened, but they do have decent history against him. I look at it this way, declining lefty. Those guys are still good against opposite handed hurlers. Advantage them, not a full throated roar, but between them, I'm calling them for 1.5 of the 3.5 extra base hits.
I like it. No, I have no problem with that at all. I like all these guys today.
Main slate time?
Yeah, I'm down for it.
All right, 15 minutes to go. The Coors Field extravaganza not on the FanDuel main slate. Let me just double check that because they just have 5. That is correct. They are leaving that one off. DraftKings does have it. We're starting at 7:05. Jeffrey Springs going into Baltimore, taking on Kyle Bradish. Ooh, actually, Bradish is the perfect player to talk about with looking at his strikeout prop versus not really wanting to play him against Tampa Bay. Heck, I'd even consider a Tampa Bay stack at this point. Where do you have Kyle in your strikeout props? I want to see where he is on Prize Picks. Real
quick. I have him sitting right around 5.
All right. I'm betting he's going to be like 4.5. So we're just going to, I'm clicking on Prize Picks. Let's see if they have it posted. I'll just type in, if I spell Kyle, how did I misspell Kyle? Brad, 4 strikeouts. Ooh, I definitely like the over there. Don't really want to play him against Tampa Bay. You know, we're looking for a little Yimin Choi in this one. Kevin Kiermaier, 2,200 makes the world go around. Oh, that's FanDuel pricing. Kevin Kiermaier is 3,100. That's like 2,200. 3,100 on DK. I think he is in play as well. You've got Mike Zunino, just massive light tower power. So I really don't want to play Bradish, but he's going to be on my Prize Picks card. Take that over for 4 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Break this one down. I've yammered enough about it. Get some actual DFS analysis here while I go make a Prize Picks card.
Well, not a ton of interest in the pitching here. I'd rather get to the bats, but even then the bats aren't, besides Tampa, it's not super exciting for me. I know Baltimore's got the big call up today, although I don't think they have a pricing for him. I believe, do you, have you seen him have a price?
I'm sorry, yet? For who? For Adley. I don't think he's in the DK player pool, their catcher. He is in he's in FanDuel. He's 2,400. I don't think he's in the DK player pool, or he wasn't when I downloaded it this morning. I can't remember if they add players or not, but let me go poke around and see. But in any event,
right,
Adam Scherer's going to be excited for this prospect called up, since he is a fan of the batters of Birdland.
Yeah, definitely some excitement there getting him up. If you're looking at both pitchers so far, I mean, Jeffrey Springs, not a guy you really expect to go too deep into games, but 3x FIP, 25.5% K rate, doesn't really walk anybody. As far as Bradish goes this season, not a ton of interest, but he's also been pretty solid this year with a 3.5x FIP and also a 25.3% K rate, not walking many guys. Both guys are good enough to where you don't really want to stack against them, but they're also not that good enough to where you really want to play them either. So it's kind of just a mediocre game from the perspective.
Yeah, I've called up DraftKings here. He is not in the DK player pool. Yeah. I don't think they'll add him. Sometimes they add players every now and then. For football, I've seen them do it where there's days in advance and people, yeah, they can send out the little alert and all that. I don't think they do for baseball, but in any event, someone to watch there. How deep do you think Jeffrey Springs will go? He is 4K on DraftKings. We're obliged to at least mention him as a possibility at that price.
Yes, looking at his pitch counts this year, the last game was good where he got up to 76. Before that, 57, 31, 43, 32. If you can get 80 pitches out of Springs today, I mean, at 4K, as long as he's not going to get blown up versus Baltimore, which I'd say there's a decent chance he doesn't do, then he's actually been quite good this year in limited sample sizes. But, I mean, if you can get 4 to 5 innings out of him, he's worth a shot, but it's just not something I can really project too often to happen.
Yeah, I think a better way to look at it is that he'll get to go twice through the batting order.
Yes.
However many outs that ends up being, well, that's about where Tampa Bay tends to cut off their even their veteran pitchers at this point, but especially their youngsters. So I would say, you know, as you mentioned, you know, he started out, what did he make, 7 appearances in April, where he never went more than 3 innings, just kind of was getting stretched out. He pitched May 3rd. He's faced 10 batters through 31 pitches. May 9th, he faced 15 batters through 57 pitches. And then last Sunday, he faced 17 batters through 76 pitches. So we know we're going to get, you know, 70, 75 pitches. But if he cruises through the lineup, well, that's going to be it, right? So it does kind of tamper his upside expectations. And the strikeouts are really, it's hard to tell with a reliever. I mean, he's got 20 in his 21 and two-thirds innings, but in his last three outings, 2 strikeouts in 4 and two-thirds, 4 and 4 innings, and 2 and 3 and a third. Tough to trust that. So it's more about you getting to play whomever you want from Colorado, yeah, when you roster him, not necessarily the, you know, 12 to 14 DraftKings points is probably his ceiling, I would say.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to mention, if you're looking at the top pitchers tool, he is projected to have a lot of ownership, and he's obviously got the best chance to be a top 2 value pitcher because, I mean, he's only $4,000. But at the same time, he also has the second worst leverage score on the slate, meaning maybe you want to get to some Orioles stack because a couple of these guys can hit lefties for power.
Yeah, good call out on that one. Anthony Santander, always solid. Trey Mancini, of course. And Austin Hayes has been finally been picking it up. I believe he was dinged up a little bit. He's someone I ended up with somehow on a lot of my season-long leagues. And I remember as I go through and set my lineups once a day, forever I was seeing him with the day-to-day red tag. And yeah, because I don't ever worry about that in DFS, right? You play whoever's in the starting lineup. I don't have to think about those injuries. I had just kept him on my bench for weeks at a time. That also happens to me when I take a chance on closers and they don't pan out or they don't win the job. And then they aren't even in the top 2. I was cleaning up some of my lineups earlier today. Oh, I had some bad relievers on there. And I was like, oh, let's see when was our last. Oh, they haven't gotten a save yet. Jesus, why do I still have them on me? Holds don't count in these leagues. That's not helping me. And when they don't strike out a lot, can be a disaster, but that's season long baseball. But we'll get back to DFS. Joe Ryan, intriguing matchup here against the Royals. We are looking at about an 8 to 12 mile an hour wind coming in from left field in Kauffman Stadium today. 8,800, solid price. You're looking at, I don't even, the last four batters in the Royals lineup aren't even replacement level.
Yeah.
They're just bad. MJ Melendez. Yeah. All right. He's no Sal Perez. Emmanuel Rivera. Who? Kyle Isabel. I've heard of him, but he's only 2,200. Doesn't bode well. And Nicky Lopez, in the fine tradition of Alcides Escobar, the all glove, no hit Royals infielders. Yikes. I think Joe Ryan's going to be a big part of the night slate. What is your read on Ryan today?
Yeah, I definitely want to get to quite a bit of Joe Ryan. Being sub $9,000, it's pretty easy to get to. About a 3.5 implied run total against him. As a slight favorite, I could see him getting 6+ strikeouts here, sitting at just north of a 24% strikeout rate this season. He is giving up a lot of fly balls, though, but that's not really killing him. Only a 27% hard contact rate and less than a homer allowed per nine. The Royal squad, they don't strike out a ton, but they just don't really have much power at all. I think Joe Ryan's going to be a pretty solid play here. And as long as he can get the win, you're looking at probably safe bet for 20+ fantasy points tonight.
All right. We got some shows coming up after us, but not right after us. So we're going to run. We'll take an extra 5 or 10 minutes to complete this slate. So we'll get out of here around 10 after the hour. But I want to remind everybody, we've got the MMA Live Before Lock at 3 o'clock today. That is going to be with Jason Floyd and Pete the Heat Rogers. I believe it's a 4 o'clock lock for MMA today. 6:30, 7:30, you're going to get the MLB Live Before Lock. That is going to be with Terry McBride and Gundacker. And then from 7:30 until 9 o'clock, with an extra 30 minutes here, brought to you by Odd Shopper, you're going to get the NBA Live Before Lock for our all of our basketball needs there. But we're going to get back to baseball here. I want to remind everybody that we have a new promo code. It's MLB Strategy Show is the promo code, all one word, just like the name of the show. Well, the name of the show is not one word, but the promo code is MLB Strategy Show. You get 50% off, 50% off of your first month of Osmo All Access if you are a new user. So for $18.95, you get a full month of Osmo Premium, everything, all the sports, not just baseball. You get Formula One, you get USFL, you get NASCAR, you get what else is there? Tennis. I believe one of the tennis majors is coming up starting tomorrow in the wee hours of the morning. You got NHL playoffs, NBA, MLB, all sorts of stuff there. You got the esports, plenty of good stuff. It's a lot of fun. Great offer here. Won't last forever, but promo code MLB Strategy Show, all one word, gets you 50% off 1 month of Osmo if you are a new user. Let's look at players we want to take against Brad Keller. Brad Keller used to never give up power, never, ever, ever give up power. He started to give up a little power, still well below league average, but it's like he's changed. This started last year. He's sort of changed his pitching approach. I used to not want to take players against him. I'm okay taking players against him now. Prefer one-offs, just because it's hard for other teams to sustain success against him, just because he does an excellent job of limiting power, which, you know, fewer extra base hits, decent control, nobody on base, doesn't lead to crooked numbers. So how are you feeling about Keller? Could he be an SP2, or which kind of waving him off when we've got Springer and Springs and some of these other cheapies we already talked about?
Yeah, if we didn't have Springs, I'd probably say I could get to maybe a little bit of Keller, but I mean, I can get nearly a $3,000 discount and get with Springs in a much easier matchup. And the thing with Keller is he just doesn't generate strikeouts. And the problem is the Twins do have quite a bit of boppers in their lineup with Byron Buxton. You have Carlos Correa, Max Kepler, Gary Sanchez. The annoying thing with stacking against Keller is that he's got that annoying ground ball rate. So above 50% so far this season, which is on par, which is what it usually does. But there's enough power in this lineup too. I think it's at least worth to get to some mini stacks or one-offs, but full stacking isn't going to look very appealing.
All right. So 4 more games to go. Please do hit that like button. We've got a couple hundred people watching. Let's get up to 75 likes. It'll be a lot of fun, and it will improve the results of your DFS lineups today. That has been scientifically proven by Greg Ehrenberg. Hitting this like button here on Awesomeo definitely helps the performance of your lineups. The Washington Nationals could use some pitching desperately. They've got Pat Corbin today. Somehow Pat Corbin managed to go until last start when he gave up three home runs, managed to go the entire season allowing one lonely little home run, yet still had a 6.06 ERA heading into the last game. Hunter Renfro, yes, please. Absolutely a core building block today. Andrew McCutchen, 3,800 on DraftKings. Of course, we want him in our lineup, so likely be batting cleanup. And heck, Mike Brousseau, the super discount dandy at 2,500. Not that we really need it today. Yes, he's a pinch hit risk, but just one swing of the bat against Corbin could have his supporters smiling here. Can you say anything nice about Patrick Corbin?
No, you just
then don't say anything at all. What do you want to do here with anybody else you want to throw out there for the Brewers? Everybody.
Mean, you can make a case for everybody for sure. I will say in tournaments, if you want to get try a little contrarian, just look at the lefties. Because if you think the Brewers deck is going to go off, you can assume that Patrick Corbin's probably not going to last too long in this game. So those lefties are going to see some righties at some point. But Hunter Renfro is arguably the best play in the slate. I was on a show with Eric early in the week. They were facing a lefty. I forget which pitcher it was, but we were looking at Renfro splits versus left-handed pitching. It is scary good. We're talking like almost a 600 ISO and 800 slugging. It's good. Really good.
He's way up there. And if you just go to the Cardinals and do the same thing this year against lefties for Goldschmidt and Arenado, they're both at like a 500 ISO. And it's just like, that's like beyond batting practice, right? That's just like you're in the home run derby at that point. But yeah, a little bit, just nothing good to say here about Corbin. Keep him far, far away from your lineups. No, I don't see any utility in going to him. The strikeouts just aren't there anymore. He's just an innings eater at best. Brandon Woodruff. The strikeouts used to be there. He was an all-star last year. Hell, he was among the league leaders in strikeout per nine for most of the season. He's disappeared this year. All he has to do is navigate Juan Soto, the Josh Bell, and 42-year-old Nelson Cruz, and he could be in line for a good outing. We're paying a top dollar here. We're paying for last year's metrics, but this is a horrible Nationals lineup. How are you feeling about Woodruff here?
Yeah, I definitely like him quite a bit. I do think the Brewers can pick him up a win. I can't imagine Woodruff's going to get touched up too much here. 29% carry this season, 3.3 xFIP. Is giving up more power than what he normally did, though. Because, I mean, last season, he was just giving up absolutely zero as far as the power department goes. That has certainly upped this season. Still a 30% hard contact rate, but at $9,500, I'm viewing him and Joe Ryan as pretty similar plays. I believe right now Woodruff is picking up more ownership, I believe. Yeah, definitely a lot more ownership on Woodruff right now. So Joe Ryan definitely looks like a better guy to get to in tournaments, as Woodruff currently has that negative leverage score. But still a good chance to be a top two pitcher. I like him quite a bit, but if you are playing tournaments, I think I'd rather get to Ryan.
All right. I'm looking here. I want to help out. I see someone in chat was saying that over on Fantasy Cruncher, they're not seeing the pitcher. So Austin Gomber is listed in there. If you click on show bench or show relief pitchers, a lot of times you'll see the players that aren't currently being displayed. Let's see if they have Herman Marquez in there, because I know some people. Yeah, so if you do that, you can select Herman Marquez. He is listed as a relief pitcher. It's a doubleheader, so that, you know, despite there being doubleheaders forever in baseball, it mucks up everybody's tools no matter what, because now even the API feeds and some of the other sources where we're getting information overnight, obviously it's going to screw up our VLOOKUPs, but even when you start getting the feeds overnight, if they are a postponed game and it, depending on how the APIs work, they may be showing the official game and first, and even though it's the second game, and it's doubleheaders are a disaster for everybody. But you can find him there by checking the show relief pitchers a checkbox. Another trick you can do is even if players, I think they with that feature, they've now made it so you can see everybody that's in their player pool. But the other thing you could always, you used to be able to do in prior years, especially for baseball, just put in the projection and the name for a pitcher, upload it, just hit the upload, and they'll appear as well. But I think with their new feature, they, instead of you having to use that trick, they just said, hey, we'll display everybody. Just click that show relief pitchers button. I wanted to call that out because I know people sometimes get questions about that. All right. If you were going to target against Woodruff, it's really Soto and Bell. So trick question, how old do you think Yadiel Hernandez is?
Oh gosh, he sounds old. I don't. I'll say mid-30s.
I think that's mid-30s. About right. He is, yeah, mid-30s. Yeah, he's 34 and 224 days old. I'm like, God, why do I think this guy's a prospect of sorts? Why I go, I know I remember him from the Nationals. I'm like, well, who is this guy? Because he had a couple home runs early this season, or a couple bigger games. He's got 20 RBI right now. And I went and looked at him. I'm like, oh dear God, this guy's like a washout. Heck, he's lucky to be in the league, and yet here he is batting in the heart of the order for the Nationals. Yes, I'm a Nationals and a Mariners fan. You can see all my Nationals hats back here. I moved out here to Virginia. I recognized bad baseball when I got out here, and I didn't have to stay up till 10 o'clock to see the games start. And then they ended up winning a World Series years later. Fun times here. Fun times. Anything else from this game other than Brewers, Brewers, and more Brewers?
Just give me all the Hunter info I can get.
Okay. John Gray, Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander still getting it done. I think he's about to turn 40. He has been, missed the better part of the last two seasons with Tommy John and the subsequent rehabilitation. He is first in WHIP. He is second in ERA, and I think he's top 10 in strikeouts as well. He's got the Astros offense behind him, which has led to 4 straight wins and a 5-1 record. I'm liking Verlander. There's no great shakes there. John Gray, terrifying matchup going against Houston, even though they've turned over the bottom half of their order is not quite the same as it has been in prior years. Still a tough matchup going against Houston. There will be moments where we want to play John Gray. Tonight is definitely not one of them. To me, this feels like a very one-sided affair, similar to the Brewers. It's just all Houston all the time. Just a 3 implied run total here for Texas. Any call out thoughts from this game?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be more heavy on the Astros side here. And mainly that's going to be Justin Verlander, because John Gray is not a bad pitcher. You know, getting out of Coors this season, a 3.3 xFIP, 24.5% K rate, high ground ball rate, doesn't give a lot of power. That's enough for me to have some concerns about a Houston stack, even though we know how good that offense is, but they did get shut down last night. But Justin Verlander, I think you definitely have to have some interest, but his price point, I don't think he's a must play on this slate, because you have other pitchers in solid spots that are a little bit cheaper, like Joe Ryan, Brandon Woodruff, Frankie Montas, who we're going to talk about quite soon. So I don't think he's a must play, but he's definitely going to be one of the top projected pitchers on the slate. You can't argue that. 25.5% K rate this season, low 3.3 xFIP, doesn't give up much power at all. Have to assume he's going to cruise in this game, which is what he's been doing basically every single time he's went out on the mound this year. So I can definitely like Verlander, but he's not a must have for me.
All right. What does your model say about Verlander strikeouts? Price Picks has him at 6.5. He's had at least 5 in all but one start. That seems like a pretty hefty number.
Yeah, I still like it. I have him in the low 7s. Okay. So it might be a little high, but I do think he can get there.
All right. That's one where if you don't like his price point, you think you have a lean towards him one way or the other. You can, we don't always have to take the overs. Sometimes these numbers get high enough. You want to look at the unders. I learned that with golf, as I've been dabbling in that the last 2 days. The weather conditions, it was very nice looking at some of the slates, because they gave everybody like more or less 70 to 73.5 were their numbers. It's a par 70 for the PGA Championship this weekend. And I felt that that was a good opportunity to take some of the overs. And I lucked out on that. I turned 20 into 400.
There we go.
that's not too shabby.
At all.
That was on another site that wasn't Prize Picks, but they gave me a free $20 ticket. So I used it and I'm very happy.
Yeah, for sure.
$400. Gotta like that.
Yeah.
Coors Field, game two. Someone in chat was saying, any word about the Coors Field weather? Precipitation, not going to be an issue. It is cold, though. It is about 35 to 40 degrees cooler than it was just 72 hours ago. It is going to be in the mid-40s for both games here. On the nightcap, we have Trevor Williams going against Austin Gomber. Okay, not really wanting to take him against the Mets, but you know, they still have a 10.5 implied run total. To me, that feels a little bit lofty. I think Gomber's a pretty good pitcher. I'm not doing cartwheels for many of the Mets. I think Mark Canha is interesting at 3,200. He does pretty well against opposite-handed hitters. JD Davis probably will be in the lineup here, but he is a pinch hit risk when a righty comes in. Anything of concern about the pitchers, or is this just hitters for you?
It's probably going to end up being just the bats for me. Trevor Williams, if you're looking at his game logs this year, he hasn't maxed out past 65 pitches. And I believe he's $7,700 on DraftKings. I'm not going to pay nearly $8,000 for a guy that's going to go, what, four innings-ish max in Coors Field. I know the weather is good for pitching, but we're still talking about Coors Field and the elevation. I just can't really recommend that. Austin Gomber, I think, is a pretty good pitcher. I used him quite a bit last season, and he ended up paying off maybe more often than not. I can't remember exactly how many times it worked out, but Gomber is solid, 20.5% carry. This year is not amazing, 3.73 xFIP, but doesn't usually get blown up, doesn't give up too much power. The Mets, though, obviously a pretty tough lineup to navigate. You have Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Pete Alonso, crushes left-handed pitching, Marcana, JD Davis. It's a I like the pitcher in Austin Gomber, but I just like the bats a little bit more. So I'd rather get to the Mets.
All right, one more game on the slate, and then we're going to get on out of here. Of course, we do have shows coming up after us. 3 o'clock, you get the MMA Live Before Lock. 6:30, you're going to get the MLB Live Before Lock, and then 2 hours of NBA content taking you up to lock in a bonus 30 minutes there, brought to you by Odd Shopper. You guys want to check out Odd Shopper? That is the Osmo sister site, allows you to look across all of the different sports books and find good values for your wagers. We also bring in the likelihood of success, the probability of success. We calculate ROI for you, and for the player props, we're bringing in the projections directly from the Osmo DFS models. So you're getting another way to monetize this. Those are free for now anyway, but we also have premium betting package, which is pretty cool. We have our, it includes our best bets Discord, and we get recommended bets every day, usually about half a dozen or so, from Steve, the Colts Buzzard, from Alex Baker, Osmo himself, from Ben Raza, etc., calling out different bets across all of the sports. So you guys know, of course, Ben has been a sports handicapper for years. Fortunately, it's now legal in his state. Otherwise, he knew a guy, or he probably knew a few guys that would help him facilitate some of those transactions. But he is talking bets nonstop. We get, you know, we got the Preakness coming up. We just had the Kentucky Derby. He's hockey. He bets hockey. He bets soccer leagues you've never heard of. Oddball soccer leagues that don't even have live scoring for you. It's like the old days when you had to read the score in the paper the next day, but he gives you an advantage. That's all I need. I just need a few bets to tail. I need something to, make watching sports interesting. Cause as I've learned, with no DFS or no wagering interesting sports, I'd rather watch a sports movie, I guess. I don't know. I guess I'm into this sports wagering thing, but the best bets package will get you access to that. You can also follow on Twitter at Osmo Best Bets. They're going to be giving out one free premium bet there per day on the weekdays. So make sure you have the notifications on for that channel, or you just get the best bets package and you'll get in the Discord and it'll pop up with Alex and Ben and Steve's bets automatically for you. Much easier to do it that way. And it pays for itself. They've been tracking the ROI on this pretty solid. I think last I saw was around 15 or 17%. That's pretty good ROI when you get into the sports wagering stuff. So throwing it out there. You just want a fighting chance here. Have a rooting interest. It'll be a good time. Last game of the night. Couple of good pitchers here. Frankie Montas, going against the Halos. Michael Lorenzen taking the mound here for the Angels. Of course, we will have the vaunted Marine Layer in the later innings. This is going to be a 6 o'clock local start, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. What do you uncover from this? It looks like this might be a pitching special game here, because God, do you really want to go against Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and Anthony Rendon and Jared Walsh? No, but Montas is pretty good. He's not quite the household name yet. What do your projections say? Taking the biases out of it, what does your projection model say about Montas?
Yeah, I do like him quite a bit. I know the Angels have a ton of good bats in their lineup. There's no question about that. You have Taylor Ward, who's been on fire, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Rendon, Walsh. After that, they strike out a lot, though. That's the thing. Their current projected lineup versus righties has the seventh highest strikeout rate in the league. Velasquez at the bottom, 25%. Romine at 28.6%. Brandon Marsh at 28.5%. Walsh at 26.5%. Even Mike Trout is, obviously, he's the best player in baseball, no question about it. Maybe Shohei Ohtani is, but 26.7% strikeout rate. So there is strikeouts to be had with Frankie Montas. And if you're looking at his numbers so far this season, a 3x FIP, over a 27% K rate. As of right now, on the top pitchers tool over on the website, we have Frankie Montas with the best chance to be the top pitcher on the slate. That includes some positive leverage, which guys like Brandon Woodruff, Verlander do not have. So I can definitely get to quite a bit of Montas. It doesn't look like he's going to be as high owned, but I think he's one of the better tournament targets on the slate.
And then on the other side, Michael Lorenzen, not necessarily the best pitcher or hitter combination, because he, of course, plays on the same team with Shohei Ohtani, but he's pretty good himself, going full-time with the pitching these days. The Oakland lineup, I was making fun of the Nationals lineup. The Nationals lineup is better just because of Juan Soto than the Oakland lineup. Oakland traded away everybody who wasn't nailed down. No more Matt Olson, no more Chapman. It's just kind of a Chris Davis and his 247 batting average are you know, no more. Luis Barea, Elvis Andrus, Sean Murphy, Seth Brown, Sheldon Neuse. Who the hell are these guys? Some of these guys are dead. We'll cross them off.
Yeah, it's
that was for Awesome Yo. You may not get the major league reference, but I know Awesome Yo does.
We'll let it slide. But as far as Lorenzen goes, he's got some pretty big splits when it comes to lefties and righties. If you're looking at his splits versus lefties, we're talking about a 6x FIP, only an 8% strikeout rate, a 286 ISO given up, and over 2.5 homers allowed per nine. If you look at his numbers versus righties, a 0.014 ISO, a 61% ground ball rate, and zero homers allowed per nine, only a 15% hard contact rate. So I would avoid righties versus Lorenzen, but some of the lefties, if you want to get weird, I would never really want to recommend an Oakland stack. But a guy like Seth Brown, a lefty versus Lorenzen, he's got some pop in his bat, batting cleanup. You have Tony Kemp leading off. Outside of that, it's not too pretty. I think Jed Lowry had a leadoff bomb yesterday, or I'm not sure if it was leadoff, but he got a bomb early on. But I'm still not going to really get to too many A's here.
Yeah, it's you know, they'll always have Moneyball. Always have Moneyball. All right, who is your top home run calls from your model today? Throw out a couple names, and then we will get on out of here.
We talking main slate?
Main slate, please.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's a big surprise here, but Hunter Renfro is going to just pop off the page for me.
All right. If it's a Hunter Renfro day, the home runs can come in bunches.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are of two home runs today? 12% chance, maybe? It's not out of play. It's definitely a non-zero chance.
No, I'm not sure I could call it 12%, but I would say he's got the best chance on the site to do it. That is for sure.
All right. With that, gamers, we're going to get on out of here. You can follow Awesomeo at Awesomeo_COM on Twitter. Stay tuned. Three more shows coming up after us. Hit that subscribe and notification bell and button. It will definitely let you know whenever we go live, and we go live all the time with free content for you guys. With that, gamers, good luck.